Blog Talk Radio.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. I seek refuge, protection with Allah from Satan, the rejected enemy. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful, benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Today is October 10th, 2021. 10-10-21. I'm your host, Michael Sahir. You have tuned in to Words Make People. We'll be right back after our opening theme song and begin our Quran recitation. So stay tuned, call a friend. We have a very, I think it's going to be very inspiring conversation today with our brother Yusuf Mayoun and his wife, Sister Zubaydah Mayoun, who many of us know from Muslim Journal. We're going to discuss their marriage, his 53 years of not being together, but now they are together. So we'll be right back after our opening theme song, also titled Words Make People, sung by our beloved but belated young sister, Khadija Abdullah. We'll be right back. Tell a friend to tune in. I'm back from our introduction song. I'm going to bring up my best host from the West Coast, Imam Ayman Abdul Mujib. Assalamu alaikum, Aki.
Wa alaikum assalam, rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, my dear brother. How are you in the radio listening audience today?
Taib, good. Alhamdulillah. We thank Allah for this day, this time, this program. This means of communication. We're going to get into our Quran reading today, You're going to read from chapter 30, verse 21. Chapter 30, verse 21. So we're going to, that's going to be our reading for today, to find it. Again, Surah 30, titled Room. Room is the every name for Rome. It's the city of Rome, in Rome, Italy. I think many of our Christian friends found that amazing, in particular those who are Catholic, that there's a chapter in the Quran named after the city of Rome in Italy. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Chapter 30, verse 21. And before reading the Quran, we always see God's protection from Satan, the rejected enemy. You say in the Arabic, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. In English, I see protection with Allah, with God, from, away from Satan, the rejected, accursed enemy. And then next, before reading the Quran, we say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. And then we can read from the Quran. And reading the Yusuf Ali translation, it says, and among his signs is this, that he created you from mates. He created for you mates from among yourselves, that you may dwell in tranquility with them. And he has put love and mercy between your. Now he has hearts in parentheses. He has, this is Yusuf Ali translation. He has put love and mercy between your hearts. Again, heart is in parentheses. Verily, in that are signs for those who reflect. It says, verily, in that are signs for those who reflect. In nafi dhalika la'ayatin. Yes. Ayatin, that's the science. Ayatil the kum, that's the people. Kum is in the people. People that yatafakarun, those who think, yes. So this is a very beautiful ayat for the occasion today. But Allah has given this as one of his signs. I think it's important for us to realize that it's one of his signs. Allah has put a sign in everything. Everything Allah has given us, he has made it a sign, an ayat. And every verse of the Quran is called ayat for that reason, because it is a sign from God. As well, each ayat of the Quran, it's a miracle from God. Some of the disbelievers used to ask Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him. They said, Muhammad, where is your miracle? And he would direct their attention to the Quran. The Quran is my miracle. And we know that each ayat of the Quran is an individual miracle, a sign from Almighty God, Allah. And one of his signs is that for you mates. Yes. So Allah says, he created for you mates from among yourselves. Kalakalakum min is nafsikum. Aswajan. Aswajan, the word zoj. Aswajan. Allah made from you mates from among yourselves, that you may dwell in tranquility with them. Alhamdulillah. He said he has put love, mawadatan. And this one, that word, what I do, Brother Imam Ayman. That word there, it says, mawadatan. That is saying, wadud, the love. And another word for love is Hub, H-U-B, often referred to as a kernel of corn or a seed, or a seed. And that's love as well. But there's a difference between the two. When you say Wadud or El Wadud, it's a more intensified form of love. Hub, like from the name Habib, someone named Habib Allah, the beloved of God. So Hub and Habib come from the same root. Hub is saying it's love, but it's love that's settled or arrested. You hold it in your heart. You hold it in your thoughts that I love this person or I love this religion. But when you say Wadud, you are taking that love from just being inside of yourself. You're now putting it into action. You're putting it into form. You're putting it to where people can see it. The who or the hub, it's more internal sentiment. But when you put some action behind that love, then that's Wadud. So Allah is calling for us and our mates. He didn't call us to the former love of Hub. He called us to the former love of Wadud. You put a smile on your face. You just hold that love in your heart. You put a smile on your face so the loved one can see you smiling because you love them. You go to work. Brother, get a job, go to work, I'm going to work, sister, because I love you and the family. So you're putting that love into action. And the wife, she put it into action as well. You just don't hold it inside. You put it into action. But, you know, I mean, I'd love to hear your thoughts or comments, please.
Yes, sir. You said quite a bit right there. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can hear you. I think my phone's messed up because your voice do sound soft, but I think it's my phone.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. You have a
volume button on your phone?
Yeah, hold on a second. Hold on a second. Hold one second here. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Sir.
All right.
Yeah, it's a little bit louder.
Yeah, mashallah. Yeah, what you said is so beautiful because... You know, El Wadud is one of Allah's attributes. El Wadud,
mm-hmm.
the loving, you know. Yes,
mm-hmm.
And you know, the beautiful thing is that yeah. Hold on one second.
Were you there?
Hold on one second. Yeah, I'm right here. I'm right here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm right. I'm back. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes,
yeah, I'm
sir.
Sorry, man. I got some stuff going on here this morning at this office. All right. Yeah. So, how do I do the loving and what you explain that word, how it's an action word. It's an action word.
Mm-hmm.
And we can see how throughout the whole creation God has created for us, put into action this wonderful creation out of love. Out of love, you know. And it's and beautiful,
mm-hmm.
And mercy and compassion. You know, it's beautiful. And the other word there is a very beautiful word, Sakina. Sakina,
mm-hmm.
dealing with tranquility, dwelling in love and tranquility. Yes, yeah, Sakina,
mm-hmm.
That's exactly what it means, to be stable, to be established. You know,
right.
You know that's what brings the love and the tranquility, is that you're established. You know, you're establishing the life. Al-Islam has established you in this life as a human being, and you're following the instructions that Allah has laid out for us in the Holy Quran, the life of Muhammad the Prophet. So, yeah, I think that's really the gist of it. It's really beautiful, you know,
yes.
What you're saying. And then this is signs. You know, when we say a sign, you know, we're talking about this is a message. This is a direction for us. This is beautiful knowledge for us to follow and to take heed to. You know, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. You know, when God talks about pairs also,
yes.
We know God says, you know, Zaljin Kareem, respectable pairs, you know, Zaljin Bahij, beautiful pairs. You know, so we want to be mates with each other, but we want to be beautiful mates to each other. And we want to be respectable
mm-hmm.
mates to each other. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
Respectable mates to each other. So, yeah, when you lose that respect, you can't have the beauty. You can't have the beauty, you know. So, you know, Zaljan Karim, Zaljan Karim, respectable mates, respectable pairs, noble pairs, dignified pairs. So, you know, it's really beautiful the way Allah explained to us how we should live as mates, as human beings, you know. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah. And also the other word in the same ayat, along with mawaddatan, which is saying the love in action, it says, and warahmatan, and the mercy.
Yes. In mercy.
So it says, I want to know here, it says, what I do, which means love and expression of love through the act of giving. But Allah says, along with that, showing the love, Allah says also between the two should be mercy.
Yes.
Should be mercy. Yes.
That's it.
Yes. And then the way that is summed up, Allah says that surely in this, you know, for those people who think, you know, in that lekel le ayatin, there are signs for those people who reflect.
Yes.
It says, yet the fakaruna. And I looked that word up because I was thinking, fakra and zikr are close, but they're not the
same. They're
very
close. They're not the same.
They're close, but they're not the same. It's very similar to like the two words we just mentioned with wadud
and hub.
They are close, but they're not the same. So this fakir is the person, you know, that they're thinking on it. They are pondering on it. They're, you know, the thinker is like a reminder, right? You know, the thinker.
Yeah.
But fakir, or here the fakiruna, the people who are doing it, they are actively reflecting on God's signs as they interact with their mates, with their spouses. They are actively loving, not just, you know, I love it, but they are showing it. They are giving it.
Yeah.
So this is a very powerful verse.
Yeah, it's a powerful verse. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. Yeah. We know it's powerful because it's in the Quran, but...
I know. Well, when you start studying it, looking at it, though. Mm-hmm.
Yes, right. And Imam Muhammad, he gave us that spirit and the ability to look into. And he often would remind us of what Prophet Muhammad said often. It says everything in the Quran has a explicit, like a kind of obvious meaning, but it also has the implicit, where you got to use your logic, your thinking. And that's a freedom tool that we have as students of Imam Muhammad that many Muslims around the world don't have. And I had personal experiences when I was on Hajj. Matter of fact, it was myself and the brother Imam Mustafa from Springfield, Ohio, Sister Halima Ali, Imam's niece. She now lives in Atlanta. And Sister Halima, she was engaging a sister on the verse of the Quran. I think it was Surah 3, Ayat 113, 110, 112, right in that area. I think all three verses. And their conversation was based around, and Sister Halima was saying, the people of the book. We got to that later. But anyway, people of the book, that the Christians and Jews, that there's some good people amongst them, and some of them will be in heaven. And the sisters from wherever she's from, she disagreed. So finally, brother had the Quran, said, and we found the verse, and we showed it to her. It was like it was right there in the Quran. And her response was, when we get to the next stop, we ask to shake. I'm like, we gotta look at her like ass to shake. Look, it's right here in the Quran. You know, but I'm just saying that to reiterate what you said. Imam Muhammad has given us the ability to use our logic, to use our brain. He taught us to follow the pattern of Abraham and all the prophets, but he emphasized Abraham. So alhamdulillah, it's about 20 after. That's about the time we normally end our Quran reading. Unless you have any more thoughts about the Imam Ayman on the verse that we just read. But Imam Ayman? Okay. I think he's multitasking today. Well, let's go ahead and get into our conversation. We're looking forward to a very beautiful conversation. There's a brother named Yusuf Matyun. He is the husband of Sister Zubeda Matyun. And I see his number in the queue. I don't see her number. I'm looking for her number. Maybe she called from a different number. Okay, we can figure that out here shortly. So Sister Zubeda, if you have called in, press one on your phone, please. And we'll bring you in. We're going to bring your husband in now and welcome him to Words Made People. Our dearly beloved brother, Yusuf Matyun. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, brother and ma'am. How are you? And I hope that you're doing well, and also the audience this morning. Thank you very much for having me here and giving me this opportunity to say a few things and to express my appreciation.
Yes,
for so many people who were very helpful and very, very thoughtful. And you talked about the word love just a few minutes ago. And certainly during my long incarceration, there were numerous people who gave and showed their love for Zubeda and myself. And I certainly appreciate it, and I'm glad that you've given me this opportunity to be on your program to extend that gratitude to these people over a wide audience. I appreciate it, brother.
Yes, sir. Well, we appreciate you, and we're looking forward to continuing that love. And that's what it's all about. Prophet Muhammad told us, that's a hadith that says that I think it goes like this. You will not enter paradise until you believe. And you will not believe until you love, practice loving one another.
Yes.
So this is what we're going this is what we're about. I'm looking for your wife's number. What number? Did she call me from the 312 number?
Yeah. Well, she was having
she was having
difficulty getting through. She's been attempting to get through, and for some reason, she
Is she used to house phone, maybe?
No. Well, perhaps she should have switched to the house phone. Give her a minute to attempt to do that.
Yeah. Okay. What's the beginning of your house number? The first three numbers.
First three number 773.
Okay, 773. And give me two more numbers. 773 and what else?
324.
Okay, good. Okay, that's good. Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. So when that number show up, I'll bring her in as well.
Okay.
So, I guess what we do know is that our brother met you, from what I know, that his wife was very diligent, Sister Zubeda. And at one point I saw 51 years, and then I see that she waited 53 years. She was a faithful wife. Yes, sir. And
she
visited. Go ahead.
Yeah, she has attempted to get on the home phone, but that won't allow her to get in either. But she can hear quite well over my phone. So we'll use my phone.
Just share the phone. That'll work.
You share the phone.
Yes.
As we've been sharing our love for all this time.
There you go. There's no sense in trying to stop now, right? Let's begin, we're going, after a short while, we're going to allow our listeners to press one on their phone and join us. But let's get some things going with our conversation. I think that may help. And what happened to my other page? Oh, here it is. Yes. First of all, let's get a better insight into you, Brother Youssef. You're from Chicago, maybe, and tell us just a little bit about you and your upbringing. You know, not a lot, but just enough to give us a picture, and also how you came into Islam.
Well, thank you, Brother Man, for giving me the opportunity.
Yes, sir.
My early upbringing was one family. My mother brought myself and three other siblings up, the four of us, in a project in Chicago. We had moved out of a one-room kitchenette, and we moved to a project, Ida B. Wells, Chicago, so on the south side of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And there we grew up, and I went to Wendell Phillips High School, and I was able to play basketball and win a four-year scholarship to Iowa State. And I played ball there for 3 years, and then I left and went to Southern
mm-hmm.
Illinois in attempting to complete my education, which I was unable to do because of this incident that occurred that changed the course of my life and the course of my family and certainly a few of relatives. And so the night that this my particular incident occurred, it was in May of 1967. And over a traffic ticket, one officer was killed and another was wounded, and I was apprehended.
Mm-hmm.
And so it caused me 53 years and about 9 months in the penitentiary, being locked up. And so during that course of time, Zabeda, the wife, she stuck with me 100%. And at the time
mm-hmm.
that the incident occurred, she was pregnant, and so we've been blessed to have a son come from her womb, who is now the imam there on the south side of Chicago, doing quite well, and we're very proud.
What's
proud of
name?
I think Abdullah.
What's
your
name?
Abdullah Matthew.
Alhamdulillah.
And so during the course of my incarceration, as you know, the wife worked for a Muslim journal, and prior to that name,
mm-hmm.
Muhammad Speaks. And so she had worked there with the paper for about 51 years. She stayed with the paper.
Yes, sir.
And I'm,
that's right.
And I'm forever thankful to Elijah Muhammad because he gave her the job with the paper when no one else, because of the type of crime I had, was willing to give her employment.
Oh,
so
is that right?
I didn't know that.
He gave
her employment, and she stayed with the paper 53
mm-hmm.
years. She just retired last year.
Yeah, last year. But now, let me ask you, now, how did you come into Islam? Because from my understanding,
well,
at the time when you were locked up, you were not Muslim, correct?
That's correct. I was not Muslim. Well, you know, when you come to
mm-hmm.
to the joint, and I'm saying joint meaning prison, you have brothers who are various perspectives on life. They're members of different organizations and different thoughts. And so naturally there were some brothers on the deck where I was in the county jail there in the city of Chicago who were members of the Nation of Islam at that time. And so I kind of gravitated towards that. And I think I gravitated towards that because of the a feeling that I had when I was first arrested and stepped on the deck. I knew that I had a sense that I had offended God. And so this feeling caused me to start a journey towards trying to get back
in God's grace. And so that led me to listening to not only brothers from Nation of Islam, but other brothers that had brothers espousing Christianity on the deck, or they had brothers espousing Buddhism and various other religious thoughts. But my gravitation was toward the Nation of Islam, I think because of the blackness that it kind of portrayed, the black nationalism, the flavor of it was there, so I kind of gravitated towards that. And so that gravitation continued until Elijah Muhammad passed and his son took over Wahdeen Muhammad. And that, you know, the transition that occurred there. And I had no problem with the transition. I saw proof for the transition in the Quran. And so that allowed my wife and I to follow his direction that he points into. And we're very pleased that we made that transition and we had no regrets about it. And so
let me ask you a question. I mean, because you were not Muslim when you were locked up. Was your wife? I'd like to hear from Sister Zubaydah too as to just a little bit about her childhood and how she came into Islam, because I understand neither of you were Muslim when you were first locked up. Sister Zubaydah, can you tell us a little bit?
Well, I'll give the phone to her, but quite briefly for me, she followed my footsteps. She followed my direction.
Yes, sir.
Even though at first she may not admit it, but at first she did. She didn't want to, but now she's pleased that she did.
I saw
all that. Right. Yeah. I think my son was ready. Welcome to Word Faith People.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you for your audience. I really appreciate them supporting me. I mean, have believers to send prayers up to Allah, for my husband and I. And I've always tried to be a good example so they, you know, wouldn't say I'm not doing nothing. She was, you know, she was this and she was that. But anyone that know me know that I've always worn the same hat. I've always been Veda. Now, thank you so much. And the reason why I wanted to thank them because I've talked to people all over the country, and I mean inmates from Angola, Vacaville, Norco, New Jersey, you know, Illinois, all over. And they have been very nice, and I wanted to thank them. Of course, a lot of them didn't know who I was, only that I worked at the journal, and I would send them papers and things like that. You know, the Qurans, whatever they asked for, we were able to get it to them. And even the people in the neighborhood, you know, that would stop by and giving carfare to work, little brothers used to ask for money for school. I said, here's your carfare, and I know your mother gave you money to go to school. And they just said, yes, ma'am, and take the money. But the organization, it just, and the flowers and gifts, I'm so thankful for that. I didn't know roses came in so many colors until I started receiving them at the paper. They would give them to Mark, and Mark would bring me bags, envelopes. I said, what is this? I didn't know roses came in so many colors, you know. But to start off with Yusuf and I, and the subscribers, I want to thank the subscribers because they were very nice and kind, and they had me, the subscribers had me to call through the years, call their mothers, tell their mother about Islam, call their daughters, you know, call their friends,
now,
and they need me to call them.
Let me ask you a question. Now, when you say the subscribers, you mean those who were locked up?
Not only the ones that was locked up, the ones that was locked up, but the subscribers, period.
you know, but a lot of them was inmates who would call, and just various other people. And they would call and ask me, you know, if I would call their mother, if I would call their wife, if I would call their daughter and talk Islam to them. So I'm very appreciative to that, appreciative to the chaplain. You'd be surprised of the chaplains who are very nice and kind, and they love the paper too. So anyway, to get started with you, he's right. I just followed him. You had, remember Imam Yusuf Shaw?
Oh, yeah. He made me and my wife.
Yeah, the minister Yusuf Shaw.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember him?
Yes, ma'am. Very well.
Yeah,
he
well, anyway,
in
he was
Indianapolis for a while.
Yes, he was teaching the religion at the time, Islam, and so he was in there. But Yusuf and I, we started off when we were both 15, but he told me that he was 16, so I went on with that, you know. But we started off there, and he began to hear the teaching. And, you know, we met in high school. We didn't go to the same high school, but the activities and things that they would have at his school, that's where I would go to those activities. And
yes, ma'am.
After he went to the penitentiary, he would tell me that he would listen to this imam about Islam, because at the time we were, you know, Black Power Movement, anything that was black, we wanted to be a part of it. And, yeah, so, and as he told me, as we got started, at first I couldn't see why he wanted to lean towards Islam when he had, you know, he had all this time on him. And, but as time went on, I began to start talking, and he said, yeah, I told you that last year. Yeah, I told you this and that. And I began to follow him and do the things he said do. He told me to go over, listen to the teaching. Yeah, and it was a very respectful leadership. And anyway, you know, I went over there, I began to listen. And I really, really fell in love with Islam because I saw a family there. It was clear that Islam meant family, and I would see that, the brothers and the sisters and their children, you know. And so that, that grabbed my heart right there. And I went to look, you know, for a job, and like he said, because I had a job, but they wouldn't take me back because of his situation. But at that time, John Ali, you remember John Ali?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, he, you know, hired me, and my husband's very happy with that because we know that he wouldn't do anything like that, and, you know, unless he had permission from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and whatnot, because they know when I came, when I would go there for the teaching, they knew who I was, that I was the wife of this individual, you know. So so that's you know, the rest of it is history, and I just followed him, you know, all the way up to now.
Very good. And we want our listeners to know we'll be taking questions or your comments or your well wishes or whatever here very shortly. Just want to get some things out of the way before we allow that to happen. I think I lost my co-host. He'll call back. Sometimes his phone drops. But let's do this here. I know this is going to, Brother Yusuf, you touched on it. But this is probably a question we need to discuss and just and get some understanding on it. Can you give us your account of that difficult day? You say it was May 1967. Give us your account through your eyes of that day that resulted in you being behind bars for more than half a century.
Well, briefly, brother and ma'am, it was an incident that occurred over a traffic ticket. And in recent times, we know quite well that those stops, black man being stopped by a police officer, they don't turn out as they should turn out. In my case, was one of those.
That's right.
And over the years, when I've been asked about it, my position on it now is this, that I don't talk about it too much, brother, ma'am. I believe in a judgment day. I believe there's a time when I'll have to stand before Allah, our Creator, and give an account of myself. And I don't talk about the case that much now because the individual that I shot and killed, he's not here to defend himself, but he will be there to defend himself on the day of judgment. So that's where I have placed the incident. He's not here to defend himself, to counter what I said is what's called the crime, et cetera, et cetera. So we'll just leave it for the day of judgment, and we'll let Allah be the judge.
I mean, very wise, he said, and very important, you know, the way that you said it, because it shows, for me, that it shows your sincerity in it, because, as you say, he's not here to defend himself, and you could very easily just say whatever you want to say, but by you taking that stance, I appreciate it, and I really respect that, and I would ask our callers, if they call in, to respect that. That we are going to have our judgment day.
Yes.
You know, so
yes.
So let us be very mindful of that. Thank you very much. Brother Yusuf, what have been some of the most positive changes since you were last on the streets, and what are some of the negative changes? But let's begin with the positive.
Well, Coming back after being away for 54 years, you know, it's like a coin. You know, as you just said, there's a head and a tail. There's good things and bad things. I come back, and certainly the technology and the electronics and the cars and those things, they weren't there when I left. Can appreciate being able to talk to you as I'm talking to you now and having a program.
Yes, sir.
Those things were welcome, and I'm enjoying them. But the flip side of that coin, brother, ma'am, is not as upbeat as the material things. I would certainly have liked to have come back and seen a building on the Black Power movement of the 1960s, meaning that we were hollering Black Power, and I would have loved to have come back and seen or witnessed a growth and development from those seeds that were planted in the 1960s. For example, had I come back and someone told me, said, well, brother, said, we haven't had a rape in the black community in 25 years, I would have been very impressed. Mm-hmm. Or they told me that the dropout rate in high school of blacks is almost zero, I would have loved to have heard that. If I had come back and been told, you know, that the incarceration rate now is being reduced to where very few black individuals not going to prison, I would like to have seen that or heard that. But I wasn't given that type of reentry into this society, and that's the negative aspect of it. The moral and spiritual growth that I had hoped for, I don't see as widespread as I would like to see it.
Yes, sir.
I'm purposely taking public transportation or to a little program that I'm involved with 4 days a week, and I personally have taken the public transportation just to get a feel of the people, just to see it, just what they're about. And I'm very disturbed because I get on the bus with a lot of the high school students, and the language that comes out of their mouth, you know, they just the disrespect for the individual around them. The girls that, their mouths are just, it's very unpleasant to listen to the language and to see the mannerisms that they're projecting. It's very disturbing. And then when I look outside, I see so many people downtrodden. You know, one of the things that I did not see when I left 50 years ago were individuals begging so much on the streets. There's so many people begging and standing in the middle of the street begging with cups and things. I didn't experience that 50 some years ago. That wasn't as it is now. And it's very disturbing to see that. And then again, this movement talking about Black Lives Matter. To me, that's a shame that we have stooped to that level that we had to carry signs and things and to try to grab people's attention to let them know that Black Lives Matter. And I think I expressed this to you before in our previous brief conversation, that you cannot imagine the ancient Egyptians carrying signs of Egyptian Lives Matter. And the reason that they would not be carrying signs is because their works would define whether they matter or not. You can look at the pyramids, and their works let you know that they matter because of the contribution that they've made. And so I think that this is our problem. We want Black Lives to matter, but our works have not been such that that the works speak for us as a people. And so when you ask me how I feel coming back, this is how I feel about this whole movement. Let our works speak for it. We don't have to carry signs and things. If we could tell the people that there hasn't been a murder or drive-by in the Black community in 25 years, then they know Black Lives Matter. If we could tell them that there's no rape, if we could tell them that our students are going to college at a higher rate, our works would speak for it. And then we would have to carry signs talking about Black Lives Matter. And I think that people with these encounters that we have with police and things, I think those things would dissipate if we can show real, true positiveness with the people. As a people, we got pockets here and there. But as a people, I don't think that our works have given evidence of the fact that we matter. And that's disturbing to me as a person.
Yeah, that's very powerful. Yeah, that's what you're saying is very powerful, and I agree with it wholeheartedly. They put it into a nutshell. They say action speaks louder than words, and that's what I hear you saying. The action speaks louder than words.
Yes.
Going back to the more positive side, as well, I'd like for you to share with others, to share with me little small things like that kind of amaze you, like the cost of a candy bar or the cost of a gallon of gas. You know,
yes, I'm saying this, brother, ma'am, it's kind of comical. And I got out and I saw the prices of things. You know, when I went to penitentiary, went away, a stamp only called 3 cents. You know, you can put a dime and I come back and I see a sign that's saying four chicken wings, $7. I say, what? Four chicken wings. I say, what are they making the chickens out of? And you know, there's not that much beef on the wings, buddy, man. You know, so I'm wondering, $7 for four chicken wings? That's crazy. You know, so I'm just looking at the price, brother, man, bread, milk, and gas. Like you said, when I left, You know, gasoline, a gallon was 25 cents a gallon. You could get on the highway with just $10 in your pocket and go a long way. I come back gallon is $4. I'm saying, how are y'all making it out here? I don't see how you make it, brother man. It's amazing. Car fare, I mean, I drove a CTA bus for a while, before I went away, and
right.
It only cost 30 cents. You know, that's a quarter and a nickel if you want to transfer. Now I come back
right.
And it's $2.50 every time you step off and step on another bus or the hill or something. You know, so that's
right.
What I'm looking at. And it's kind of shocking, you know. I'm trying to get used to it, and the cars seem like people are going so fast. I just wonder. I'm wondering where are you going 60 miles an hour in a 30 mile zone? You know, I just it's something, brother man.
Yes,
but I'm adjusting, and I'm learning how to get out of the way and. As I tell brother all the time, I'm trying to do as much good as I can, but I'm not trying to walk on water.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Sister Zubeda.
Yes.
How did you hold on for all those years, those decades, and that what 40 or 41 parole denials and visitations? I mean,
yeah, it was.
I know that's a question people want to know. How did you do it?
With the help of Allah, because he made me to be able to endure this. When I started off with this, I didn't know how it was going to end or what I would, you know, should do. So one day I sat in the apartment, excuse me, and I said, "Assalamualaikum to the believers too." I don't know if I said that in the beginning. And the whole, and I sit in the chair, and I face the east, and I asked Allah, "What shall I do in this case?" Because I was in my 20s, so I asked Allah. I said, "If this is meant to be, give me what I need in order to endure. If I'm to stay and wait, you know, for my husband and whatnot." And then I said, "Alhamdulillah." I said, "And then if it's not meant for me," now I was just getting into Islam. I was going here in the teaching, trying to get my ex and everything, you know. I said, "If it's not meant for me to do, then help me to be a decent woman." I always wanted to be a decent woman and not do anything to, you know, bring things down on my family. And I used to, my sons, we have two, my sons, when they would do something wrong, I said, "Okay, you keep it up. I'm going to wear a short dress." They, "Oh, Mom, okay." I used to just fool them with that I'm going to wear a short dress and embarrass them. But anyway, so I asked the Lord if it was meant for me to do this, give me what I need, and I'll go from there. So I always tell people that apparently it was meant for me to do this. And Allah gave me everything I needed to survive. Because it's not easy when you're single and trying to be a decent woman out here, you know. Mm-hmm. And, I had the trials of, "Hey, baby," and all of this and that, you know, in the nation and off and out of the nation, you know. But I was able to endure, and Allah gave me everything. And sometimes I used to wonder, I said, "Wow, why am I doing this so long?" But I never questioned Allah because I was always afraid that he would take it away from me, what he was giving me. And then I said, "Well, this is what he wants me to do at this time, and I'll know later on what it's all about." So I had everything I needed to endure this. And to the sisters out there and the women, is to let them know that it's not all about the, you know, the private parts and things like that, and try to put it in a nice way. But I had faith in my husband. He was young. You know, we was only in our 20s. I had faith in him. And the main thing I had faith in is that it was his mind. And that's what kept me waiting, because I always respected his mind, even as a, even as a teenager. His group, that his peer group, they always respected him. So I said, well, maybe I got something here, you know. But Allah had given me everything that I had needed to endure, because this was not a joke. It wasn't a plaything. And like I tell people when I went to Hajj, you know, I said, if you're playing with this, you know, you can't win. You know, either you're going to go and do this Hajj and be honest and see about this, because it's no joke. And this road that I was on is no joke. It wasn't a joke. It wasn't a plaything. It wasn't a fake. Well, I'm faking it and this and that, and then he come home. It's a different story. I told him that when you come home, I have the red carpet ready for you. You know, you got to do a step on it. And that he did. I was right at the door. And I also meant by that red carpet is that can't nobody come up and say, well, you know, she did this, she did that. And everyone that know me know that I always try to be respectful. Try to be an example for these brothers that might have been having problems with their wives, you know. Try to let the wives know you got to do better. It's not always him. And you've been married 100 times, and you're going to tell me it's the husband. And I have some very, very nice sisters in the community and husband. Very nice. So that's
Speak on that for a minute, please. If you could speak on how has the Muslim community been supportive. I'd like to hear that from a response from both of you all. How has the Muslim community been supportive?
Oh, they supported me. I never had to, like, ask for money, you know, for this and that and whatnot. But they always supported me morally. And that was important, you know. And anyone that I would maybe ask if they could help me with this and that, and a lot of them would ask, Mr. Beta, how can I help you? I said, make prayer. That prayer works. I'm telling you, it's working on me. And, I've been on this road. Maybe I have been on it maybe 30 years or 20. I said, it works. And I tried to have a good insight. So that's the way they supported me all over. I mean, even the truck drivers would call me on the road, you know, back in the 80s. And when they used to come and get the papers, and they would call me and say, how you doing today? How's this? How's that? And they always said if I needed anything, the community was there for me. Even believers. Got the ones down in Florida. Even believers have invited me to their homes and said, if you want to get away from a while, come down here. And it's a writer, a sister and a brother in the paper. I can't think of their name right now. But they always offered their help if I needed help with the children and whatnot. And I would go to them and ask them if they would talk to my sons. That's important, you know. If they could talk to my children, or, you know, if I had no problems like that. But that's the way they supported me. They supported my moral, and that's important to me, you know, that they supported my moral. That's important for the Muslim sister, her moral.
Yes, yes. Very good. Brother Joseph, you have a response? And how has the Muslim community been supportive?
Well, in prison, the camaraderie that's developed on the basis of the deen This is how I got most of my support, because early on, keep in mind now, the prisons did not want, and they still do not want, Islam to fester and grow, because they know that that prison will produce Malcolm X's, and they do not want Malcolm X's to come out of here in the thousands. They couldn't deal with the one, so they don't want thousands to come out. So they know, and so they know early on they did not allow Qurans in the prison. They did not allow, certainly did not allow Elijah Muhammad's teaching in the prison. That name. And so we had to file lawsuits and various things to get the bare minimums with respect to Islam. But in doing so, a certain camaraderie was created, a certain love was created, a certain bond was created that allowed us to grow spiritually and mentally and academically. And so this is how it basically helped me. And I'm thankful to Allah that he has given us a religion, given us a deen that covers all aspects of life, whether you're talking about incarcerated life or talking about life out here, what we call the free world. But as far as incarcerated life is concerned, I don't think that I could have been the individual that I've come to be without the deen of Islam. I give all credit to Allah. I'm so grateful that he gave us a religion. It says in the Quran, he said, "This day have I perfected for you religion. I've completed my faith upon you. I've chosen for you El Islam, your way of life." And believe me, he has done that, brother, man. There's no question in my mind that he's done that. And I bear witness to the way I conduct my life and the fact that my wife and I were able to withstand the trials and tribulations for 50-some years and come out and love each other. And we are now living in a state of what I call righteous matrimony. And it's a beautiful thing, brother. We hug, rub, and eat ice cream. It's beautiful.
All right.
So,
all right, God. All right, God.
Army, you have things that you want to share with us?
Yes, I'm just really enjoying this conversation. I'd like to say assalamu alaikum to Brother Yusuf and assalamu alaikum to Sister Zubaydah, whom I've known over the years. I'm out here in Los Angeles, California, but I've known Sister Zubaydah over the years dealing with the Muslim Journal, and I've always known her to be a very spirited, upright, positive individual. I'm really, really happy and honored and blessed to be on the phone today, because one thing I didn't know, that your husband was in prison all these years. You know, you never complained about it. A lot of people didn't know, you know. But alhamdulillah, Allah bless you to hold the line, you know, while the brother was away. And I would just like to comment on something he said earlier about, that was very profound what he said. I think we really need to take heed of that. When he said that he's been away all those years, and he would have loved to see some type of productivity, some type of production in form of a building or anything that was in testimony to the talk that we were doing back in those days. I'm putting it that way, you know. And I think what came out of that statement is a very powerful thing that we should reflect on. And what you said, Imam Mikhail, too, about make it simple, action speaks louder than words. You know, the human beings have nothing except for what he strives for, and whatever you strive for will soon come in sight. But, you know, I think it's two words that we need to focus on with our young people and even with all this other stuff: responsibility and accountability. You know, I thank God for the Nation of Islam, because before the Nation of Islam, you know, a lot of us were crazy and out there, but the Nation of Islam gave us a purpose. And I think one of the greatest things that came out of the Nation of Islam was take responsibility for yourself and do for self, you know, because we know that we have to be responsible to the ability that God gave us. And we also have to be accountable for the ability God gave us. So those two words are very important, responsibility and accountability. And I think that the brother, he really dropped some beautiful jewels when he said, all this time I've been gone, I don't see nothing. So it's just been a lot of talk. And see, we do a lot of talk, and we just talk too much. There was a song out years ago, and you all probably remember, we said, you talk too much, you worry me to death. You talk too much, you just worry my pet. Yeah, so that's what we just talk. You talk too much. So we do a lot of talking, but we have to put some action behind the talk and begin to start producing some things. And that's all I have to say, and I love both of you all. Brother Yusuf, Sister Zubeda, may Allah bless you. May Allah bless you in this life and the hereafter. And may Allah bless us all with a beautiful place in paradise, inshallah. As-salamu alaykum.
Thank you, Brother Yusuf. Thank you very much.
Alhamdulillah.
Okay, Brother Imam, I wanted to say that another thing that I wanted to say is that in the nation, a lot of different upright brothers I was very impressed with. Even with my sons, I would tell them, I want you to call so-and-so at least once a week, you know, Clyde Elamine and different brothers that was in the community that impressed me, you know. Yeah. And even now, my son, he's the one that brought me to your event, remember? When you had Tarek speak that event. And I asked him, have you called, you know, like Clyde Elamine, have you called brother so-and-so or so-and-so? And I told him, I said, because these brothers impressed me. They're trying to do the right thing. And that was one of the things the nation gave me, was some good, decent individuals that took care of their families and that meant business. And that was the reason why I was able to call in most houses, you know, when I was working at the Muslim Journal. And then sisters, they would let me right through. They didn't have no problem. They said, oh, he's right here, Zubeda. Some sisters even, if the husband wasn't home, they would say, Zubeda, he's not at home. He's in a meeting in Philadelphia or whatever. But I let him know you called. The next thing I know, their husbands have called me and said, Zubeda, because they know I'm in business. They said, Zubeda, I'm in a meeting here, and we had a break. And my wife said, you called. And I said, I thought that was so nice and kind for them to give me the privilege in their home to just call in without any problems, because they had decent men, and I really appreciated the decent Muslim men in the community, because they used to always tell me, Zubeda, I got your back. We got your back. I try to open the door. They said, hold on, Zubeda. We know Yusuf's not here. We'll open the door for you. So they always said, we got your back if there's any problem.
Yes, ma'am. All right. I like that a lot. We can open our phone lines up. We have a number of people who have question, comments. So we're going to be into our second hour now. We're going to go with our first caller. He's been, this caller will be here for a while. Caller from 614. I mean, he's been on hold for a while, but we had to get some things out of the way. So caller 614, thank you for calling Words Made People. Can you give us your first name and your city, please? Call us from 614. Okay. Try one more time. Call us from 614. Your first three numbers is 496. Okay. Well, we go to our next caller. Next caller is 213 number. Call us from 213. Thanks for calling Works Made People. Can you give us your first name and city, please?
California.
Sometimes they be on hold for long if they forget about me. Call from 213-291. Okay, well, we're going down the line there. You got another one here. This caller here is from 773. Caller from 773-450. Thanks for calling one of so many people.
As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam. Can you give us your first name and city, please?
Yes, this is Bashir Assad from Chicago, Illinois.
Yes, sir.
Yusef and I go back a long way. I can't make him remember, though. But I live in Ida B. Wells also. We played on the same basketball team, the Hornets. Yusef was a heck of a basketball player, and I was also in my legend. In fact, we won two championships in one day. In one day. Yeah, we were young, you know. We was 15, 13, 14, 15 years old. We were maybe younger than that, but this was before Wendell Phillips. When he went to Wendell Phillips, I went to high school, and it was before then. And we had a Park District Championship. We won at Columbus Park, and that night we were in a tournament at the YMCA at 51st Street, and we won those tournaments. But Yusef, we're grateful for him. Allah bless him to get out. But he did a lot of work while he was in prison, in Dawa, and you'll find many brothers who have been through where Yusef was at in Pontiac, and come back and tell you the great help that Yusef provided for them. Many of them became Muslim. I had a brother-in-law that had a bad drug problem for years. And he converted to al-Islam, dropped the drugs, became an upright citizen. In fact, even became a security guard. Because people say, how did you become a security guard? And he was always lobbying and, you know, doing things. But Zubaydah, I remember when Zubaydah came into the community, her family. I think it was that your mother, or was that your mother-in-law, Zubaydah, that was with you at that time? Your mother-in-law,
she said that,
right.
That was my mother.
Right, yes. And she was living in Ida B. Wells then, at that period of time. And they've been at my house, and my wife befriended the family. Family came to my house. Something I'm going to drop on you, and I'll be gone. My wife helped sisters, too. Sisters would come in like Zubaydah did with situations like she had. I was a paper captain, and I used to collect money for the papers sometime on the weekend. And I'd come home with a lot of money in my pocket. Well, on Sundays, I had to account for that money, for the papers. And sometimes the money would come up short. I know I didn't take the money, but it would come up short. For years later, my wife told me, I'm getting depressed. She said, I took that money.
That's okay.
And I gave it to the sisters that needed that money. And this is some of the history of this community, and especially the sisters like Zubaydah and others. You know, she mentioned about Yusef and her at 14 years old. My wife and I was together since we were 12 and had a marriage for 54 years. So this is a great community, and this is a great family, and this is an example of what this community will produce.
Brother Bashir, I definitely want to hear from Brother Yusef and your childhood in basketball, but you just hit a point that I don't know how we can communicate that to my generation and those younger than me. Your wife done, I guess it was their mother, their sisterhood, and she took the money to the sisters because many of the brothers were so busy being a soldier and building the nation that their families sacrificed tremendously. And I think that's what I'm hearing from you. And the sacrifice was hurting the family. The sacrifice was hurting the family. Because the brother had in mind building the nation. We build the nation. Sisters, you are going to give birth to the nation. We're going to build the nation. but in the process, sisters are being hurt. Yeah, I mean that's very powerful. I just wanted to just make a put a thumbtack on that because that's too important to pass by. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, brother.
Yeah, but brother Youssef, you have any response to our brother Bashir? First question is, do you remember him?
No, not. We've talked several times since I've been out, and I can't go back. You know, so many things have happened. We'll be going back six or some years in that frame of thinking, and I can't think of him. I can't pitch it, but there's no question in my mind.
You gotta see his jump shot. What it is, see, if you show you that jump shot with that crossover, you say, yeah, I remember him.
Yeah, praise be to Allah. I'm thankful that he and I have. Our breasts have been open to Islam. We thank Allah that Allah opened our breasts because I'm sure that he can think of some individuals from those days whose breasts were not open to Islam. And their course of life has not been as fulfilling as ours. So we're thankful that Allah opened our breasts, and we're trying our best to let Allah know that he did not make a mistake when you open our breasts to his name.
That's right. Yeah. Okay, Brother Bashir, we thank you always. Go ahead.
Yeah. And I would say this with respect to the youngsters at this particular time and to the elders too, because it's our obligation to do as best we can to instill in their hearts, not just their minds, but in their hearts, the sense of obligation that they have to make an intelligent contribution to uplifting and betterment of African-American people in particular and humanity in general. They don't, as I'm riding the bus and listening to them talk, I don't think that obligation is being felt. In the city is not being manifested in a positive way, but there must be in some sort of way. And we're talking about the name program. Words make people. We have to use some type of words that will make these youngsters understand that this obligation is on them. That they got to make this intelligent contribution to uplifting the betterment of humanity. And unless they feel this, they can talk about it, but they must be made to feel it, and maybe then you will see works from them that will make unnecessary our caring signs of Black Lives Matter. When their works speak more,
as I hope
they will be in the near future, let their works speak more. Let us be a pyramid. I'm speaking out of Gorka now. Let us be a pyramid.
Yes, sir.
Let us build as the ancient Egyptians built, so therefore people will understand from our works that the youngsters are bringing forth, that we matter. And we don't have to carry signs meaningfully begging people to recognize us as a people because our works would have spoken for us.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And thank you, Brother Bashir Assad. We'll go to our next caller here. This caller here is from my city, Indianapolis. Caller from Indianapolis, 317-450. Thanks for calling Worth Made People. Can you give us, I gave the city, can you give us your first name? Okay, are you on mute? Okay, you must be on mute. Okay, we had to come back to them because they're not coming through. Okay, we go to our next caller here. We come back to 450. We go to a caller here from 312. Call from 312-560. Thanks for calling Worth Made People. Can you give us your first name and city, please?
This is 312-560.
Yes, it is. This is Latifa Wangara. I wanted to give the greetings to Brother Yusuf and Sister Zubeda, whom I worked with for a number of years. And I met, although I didn't know Brother Yusuf, Sister Zubeda's love, respect, and trust in Allah kept her strong. And when she would go for him, he'd go before the board, we'd always pray that Allah would release him. She'd come back and say, no, not this time. Then I told her one time, I said, you know what? Brother Yusuf has done such good work there. They're not going to let him go yet because they're benefiting from what he's doing with the prisoners. And the one thing I want to say, her son, Abdullah, I was telling him, I said, oh, your mother was so patient and waiting for your father. He stuck out his chest and he says, he's someone special. I asked the baby, I said, well, how old was Yusuf, Abdullah when he was incarcerated? She said, I was pregnant with him. So she taught her sons to love and respect their father. And that's very, very important. That's a tremendous job that she did, where they respect their father through how she loved and respected him. That's all I wanted to say. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, alaikum.
Thank you so much.
Certainly appreciate your thoughts on that particular issue. And let me tell you that area and has been a major factor in why Abdul, he loves me as he does, because the wife, she never did attempt to turn to poison me or to turn them against me because of my incarceration. And we find that is one of the things that unfortunately it happens too often, is that the mothers, once the father or the child is incarcerated, she attempts to disassociate herself and the children from their father. And but this was never the case with Zubeda and our boys. She never turned them against me, and I'm forever grateful to her for that. And I say that I'm grateful to Allah for instilling in her heart not to do that.
Assalamu alaikum. I wanted to also add in that I'm thankful for Latifa. We've been working for years, and me and her, we would always try to get along no matter what, because we said we had to help this paper, and our Asia was such a fine person. I mean, whatever I would ask our Asia, she would always grant it. I said, Aisha, I need to be off 2 days. She would say, okay. I said, Aisha, I'm going to come in and so and so. She said, okay. And then she would tell me, Zubeda, I need you to open up Muslim Journal. And then she would call me. I said, I'm at the bus stop on my way. She said, okay. But she had been very nice, as well as you had asked me, Latifa and I, we would always get to love each other and always try to make sure that we didn't get no arguments and things that we couldn't iron out, because we knew we had to help continue this paper. And, of course, support Aisha, because she had been very kind to us. But another thing I wanted to ask, regarding Yusuf in the penitentiary, I think it was really important. When he first went there and he would write me, he told me, he said, the people I'm around, and he was, about 25, 26. He said, do you know the people I'm around, they can't read and write? And he would tell me, he said he couldn't believe that the people he was around couldn't read and write. he not only said that, he said that they, most of them didn't know the names of their body parts. He said he had to teach them that their body parts, you know, the bones, the deltoids and the pectoralis major, minor. He said they didn't even know what, you know, how many bones they had in their bodies, you know. They didn't know what the triceps was and things like that, bicep. And he said they didn't know math. And he said he just couldn't believe it. And he started right off in the penitentiary teaching these brothers, you know, the parts that they wanted to know they knew. But he started right off teaching these young brothers just basic life living anatomy, you know. And I wanted to add that in. And he took it from there on. And even gangbangers I meet on the street, they'll be standing together talking to their gang members, and they'll step from the crowd and they'll say, Miss Yusuf. And they know it was me. They saw me in the visiting room or something when they was in there. And they would say, tell them that they would give me their name and said, tell Yusuf I'm doing fine. And, you know, I'm married and I got children. And they would tell me things like that and tell them I'm working on. And they would, in other words, they would let me know, tell them that I'm working on trying to get away from this gangbanging. Then, you know.
Yes, ma'am. But let me get ahead real quick on that. Sister Zubeda, you made so many visits. I think someone said at one time that they could mark their clock at the prison on your dedicated visits. So what you're saying now, that the inmates knew you were coming too. I mean, even though they were not the other inmates, so when you later on, when they were released, they recognized you on the street because of your dedicated visits.
They recognize me on the street. They speak to me. They blow their cars at me. One time I was on the bus, and then he was bothering me. Come on, yeah, you one of the Muslims and this and that. Somebody came from the back of the bus and said, leave the lady alone. And I can't remember if they threw him off the bus or what, but they told him to leave the lady alone. When the man left me alone, the brother, as he got ready to walk in the back of the bus, he asked me, how's Yusuf? So I was running to that. Yeah, he asked me, it was somebody that knew. Plus, Yusuf said that I visited him 20 years. I visited him 20 years nonstop. Every week, I visited him for 20 years nonstop.
Wow.
Didn't miss a visit. I didn't know time to go there. Then another thing I want to just say quickly, how long it protected me on so many things. In order to see you, you know, you've been different penitentiaries. I had to go certain places to catch buses to take to the penitentiary. And this particular time, I didn't go. The bus got in the accident and killed everybody on the bus. I got a lot of calls that day. They said, Zubeda, are you all right? I said, yeah, why? Didn't you read the news? Said a bus that was going, was that Pontiac? Yeah. Said a bus, the van that went to Pontiac was in an accident, and it killed everybody on there. And we just knew you was on there. I said, no, I didn't go that day.
That's a lot of mercy. How many miles did you travel to the prison? I'm sorry, go ahead. No, I'm sorry, I cut you off. You were saying something.
Oh, I was saying it was about 14 passengers, and the driver, one of the ladies, they survived. But the driver, he died, and the lady that was on there, she died. And the people asked me, said, did I know them? I said, I probably knew most of them because, we, you know, it was all the same ones, you know. And so, but show you how
Allah protects you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am. No, I was asking the question, how many miles would you travel for a visit?
It
all depends on what prison I was in. When I was in Pontiac, she had to travel just a little over 100 miles. When I was in Menard, she had to come close to 300, about 350.
And it was one way?
Just one way from Chicago to right.
Menard,
close to East St. Louis.
We had to be on the highway. We had to be on the express at 4. We couldn't be just saying,
four
oh, we're
morning.
A little lazy.
Yeah, four in the morning.
Yeah, 4 in the morning. We had to be on the express because it was 6 hours there, pedal to the metal, maybe 1 or 2 scarves, and 6 hours back. And all of the times that I had visited him, this one here was a kind of a hard time because when I would leave him and we in the car and I turn around and you know how you're traveling, there's no lights on the road, you're just moving, and that's how it was there. And I told him, I said, baby, this time serving with you, because always remember when these brothers or men are in the penitentiary, the wife is in the penitentiary with him. So you serve all
That's
the time,
right.
All the hurt, all the this and that. I remember, and I look back and it was just always dark and it hurt my heart, you know. And what?
Maybe some other callers.
Yeah, let's have the callers get in.
Now, this is all good. You know, if we go over a little bit, I'm going to go back to the caller before, the 317-450. See, can they get through now? Caller for 317-450. Can you give us your first name and city? No, you're still not getting through, Carl. What'd you call from the home phone? Okay. I'm going to put it back on pause. But something's still not getting through. Yeah, I can hear you now a little bit. Go ahead.
Okay. I speak a little. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Who is this?
Carolyn. By here. This is Carolyn in Indianapolis. Yes, Indianapolis.
Okay.
Yeah, my wife.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, as I say, it's may Allah bless both of you even more now. And that it's my honor and to have known Sister Beta over these years, because she has been a very dedicated person to Islam and to her family. So may you continue to be blessed. Because, you know, I have saying that Allah puts you where you need to be.
Thank you. You're right.
And that's one drawback, something you could fall back on and believe in, that Allah will put you where you need to be. And you can either get there and be bitter and do nothing, or you can make a positive move. Brother, you said you have made a positive move, and Sister Beatty, you have been this is strong in your belief also, because you've always been a good sister with a kind word, and you know whatever I've seen you in various places, you can always you know bet that Sister Beatty will do, and what she needs to do, and make you feel kind, and give you a good word.
So
may you continue to be blessed. My blessing to have known you.
And thank you, sister. Wa alaykum salam. Praise be to Allah.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Very good. We can move on down the line. We got a number of callers here. I think we get to all of them, inshallah. This next caller also is from Indianapolis, 317-661. Thanks for calling Works Made People. Can you give us your first name and your city?
My name is Sister Ziada Mookman.
Yes, ma'am, Sister Ziada. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam. Sister Zubaydah. How are you? And
good.
Brother
I'm
Yusuf, how are you? We go back, Sister Zubaydah, you and I go back many years with our boys in the Universe of Islam.
Okay.
And a supporter of the Muslim Journal for many years.
Okay.
I came through Stony Island many years ago. Then I was at Islamic Dawah Center, and now I'm in Indianapolis.
Oh, okay. Yeah, see, like I remember that name.
Yeah, okay, Brother Yusuf, it's truly a pleasure. I studied history about you, you know, when you was incarcerated, and I had the pleasure of attending your son's masjid a few times when I was in Milwaukee.
Yes, thank you, sister, very much, and may Allah continue to bless us and you.
Yes, sir, the same to you, and praise be to Allah. He blessed you to see the end of that journey, and now doors are fitting open so you can journey some more. Inshallah.
There you go.
Thank you.
Yes, right, journey some more. I want to kind of tie in what Sister Ziada was saying. She said journey some more. And I'm just curious, do you have a wish list of things you would like to do whenever you can?
Well, I'm working with an organization, several organizations. And I'm trying to encourage both to take a more direct interest in how the Department of Correction is being run, Illinois Department of Correction in particular. And I'm trying to encourage them to make the Department of Correction do what it has been constitutionally mandated to do. And that is to restore the inmate to youthful citizenship. And I've added to that, this youthfulness should be commensurate with what is needed in the 21st century, not the 18th century, 19th century, or even the 20th century. It must be commensurate with the 21st century. Because I just detailed to you some of the changes that I've seen in the society after having been gone for 50 years. And now to prepare an inmate for that change, you hold him for 10, 15, 20 years or whatever, to prepare him for that change, to prepare him for the 21st century, the Department of Correction must be made to do more than what it's doing. Right now, they're basically just warehousing individuals until their time is up, and then they're releasing them back into society. That is a big problem, particularly for the black community, because the black community does not need individuals released to it who cannot be an asset as opposed to being a liability. And so we need these groups to take more of an interest in what the Department of Correction is doing when they're holding individuals for 10, 15, 20 years. So that's what I'm actively involved in right now. I've been speaking to several organizations along these lines, and I'm getting some very positive feedback from them, and just to encourage them to do as I'm explaining what needs to be done. They just need to be made to do more than just a warehouse individual.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. That's very much needed. Prison reform is long overdue. We're going to move on down the line, but I hope we can get to all of our callers. So I can't promise that we're going to do our best. So we're going to ask our callers to keep in mind time is tight, but I think this one here is a very important call. I think it's they all important, but this is 773-426. Thanks for calling Words Made People. Can you give us the first name?
Well,
somebody's got a lot of noise.
Zabeda? Assalamu alaikum.
Yeah,
Walaikum
Assalam.
Wait a minute, please.
Walaikum Assalam, sister.
Okay, we got the siren, so I guess that's a marker. That's Aisha Mustafa.
Oh, Aisha. Yeah, now we can hear you clear.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Brother Imam, for bringing me on.
Yes, ma'am.
Zabeda worked with me at the Muslim Journal for 31 years, and of course she was there when I walked in the door. She was already there. And Zabeda was our senior staffer for all those years. Zabeda was always the go-to person, you know, when it came to records keeping. Back to the Muhammad Speaks days, we didn't always have all of the employee records that went all the way back, but all we had to do was go to the Zabeda and say, Zabeda, do you remember this name? And if she said yes, she would tell you what their position was and how long they were there. And if she said no, that meant we didn't go any further with that name. she was
right.
The gatekeeper in terms of the history of the Muhammad Speaks newspaper, because we could trust Zabeda. And Zabeda not only was prominent in the African-American community, but all Muslim communities knew Zabeda. When I would get ready to go into other communities, I would say, Zabeda, come go with me. And literally, I would say, you go in first. And when Zabeda walked in the door, everybody would say, oh, Zabeda is here. So anything else that happened after then had already been smoothed out. I mean, she was the introduction to immigrant Muslim communities. They would say, oh, Zabeda is here. And anybody else that came with Zabeda was all right. You know, they were just immediately accepted as these must be good people because they're hanging with Zabeda. And we did that for years and years and years. I was at Zabeda so-and-so is having an event. Can you go with me? And she said, yeah, I know them. And it would be all over the state, across the state. We even went to Florida together to the community down there. And I think the invitation was for Zabeda, and I think she told them, well, can I bring Aisha? So,
I think it was backwards. I think they encouraged you to come and to bring me.
Anyway, it
yes, ma'am.
Was such a support and a person that could be trusted. And she loved the community. She loved the Muslim Journal. And she loved the Muslim Journal with youth's support. Now, also, Zabeda, when it came to Yusuf, that was we knew that was her priority. And I've even gone to a parole hearing with Zabeda on behalf of Yusuf. But if we were in any meeting in Chicago where there were public officials there, anybody who held a position of any importance, if we were attendance, before that official got out the door, Zabeda was standing up talking to them, walking them down the hall, letting them know who she was and who Yusuf was. And usually the conversation would end with, well, call my office. I'll see you later. Go ahead. Call my office or talk to my assistant. But she didn't meet a public official that she didn't raise the issue about Yusuf being overtaxed and held beyond the years that he should have been in prison. Because even the people that were offended had already given their okay for Yusuf to be released. They didn't hold anything against Yusuf, and some of them even wrote letters that they didn't resist his being released from prison. And when it comes to Brother Yusuf, his acumen for detail and his and like she was saying, how he taught people in the prison how to read and write. Our staff, people that would come through the Muslim Journal with transcripts, and they would always ask us, do you have someone who could edit this transcript for us and get it ready for publication? And Zabeda would say, oh, Yusuf can do that. And we would send the transcript to Yusuf. They would let him receive it. And Yusuf and prepare for production several manuscripts of people who would write us through the Muslim Journal. We would send them to Yusuf, and he would get it done. And then back mm-hmm. to their family, we talked about Abdullah. Yusuf, what's your oldest son's name?
Jabbar.
Jabbar. We all know Abdullah, and Abdullah is like the sweetheart of the Muslim community. We all know Abdullah, you know, in his Islamic education, his ability to teach al-Islam. But she also has Jabbar, who is the oldest boy, man, who would take care of his mother, take her on trips internationally. When Jabbar was stationed in Kuwait, in Desert Storm, there's a lot of controversy on whether you let your son go to war or not, go into the military or not. But when he was stationed there, Zubaydah went to Saudi Arabia with the delegation of Imam Muhammad because they said her son is in Kuwait, and maybe if she goes, she can have an opportunity to see her son. And so she went with that delegation, Imam Muhammad's delegation, to Saudi Arabia in hopes of seeing her son, Jabbar. But also, Jabbar's character is beyond the average soldier. Jabbar was the awardee of the Audie Murphy Award out of the Army. It was one of the highest awards that can be given to Army soldiers. And even now, she takes care of her grandkids. They are affectionate to her. She would bring them to Chicago and the Chicago environment, taking them to museums, taking them to plays, taking them to shows, exposing them to culture. She's always done that. And she's just a phenomenal person with a phenomenal husband. And I'm just waiting for the movie rights. I can't imagine that we can do anything less but to put their story into history. And to record it for other people to see as an example. And I'm just so thankful that we are still here to see Yusuf released, because Brother Yusuf, you give us hope, and you and Zubaydah are the reason that we cannot stop now. And whatever's undone, we're going to keep working at it until we get it done or pass it on to the next generation who will get it done. But you all are an inspiration that's unmatched. And I thank Allah, I was blessed coming through the doors of the then Nation of Islam into the community of al-Islam. I've been blessed to see and hear about and know some phenomenal people. And on that first page, near the top of the list, is Zubaydah and Yusuf Matyoun. And I appreciate you, Zubaydah, for all your years of support.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Aisha. That was a powerful testimony. When you hear someone that's close to a person, what's the saying of the prophet? When he said, you don't know a person until you live with them or travel with them or work with them. And for 31 years that you work with Sister Zubaydah, so you definitely would know the good qualities of her. So we thank you very much. You know, if you can, we go on to our next caller, if you can. Here. And also, I want to say this here. You know, they beg about GPS now. Sister Aisha, beg for a second. Sister Aisha, you know, they beg about having GPS now. You all had GPS with Sister Zubaydah a long time before they had GPS. Enrico.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I would call her Chicago. I said, Sister Zubaydah, I'm looking for so-and-so street. Man, like, she knew it. I mean, she knew it. Alhamdulillah. All right. Okay, we go to our next caller here. Caller here from 319. Caller from 319. Thank you for your patience. Oh, what happened to him?
I'm here.
Oh, wow. Are you here? There you go. 319. Okay, someone dropped off. Can you give us your first name and city, please?
Yes, Omar Yamini, Chicago.
Yes, sir, Omar.
I first want to say, assalamu alaikum, everybody. I've known Sister Zubeda my entire life. I know Abdullah, but I was listening to everyone, and I want you to know that Yusuf Magyun is a legend to us. I was in prison 15 years, and I came I ran into Yusuf. We were in Menard, Yusuf, and you gave me a book called, you wrote it, or I'm going to say you helped a sister write it, or you wrote the foreword called A Mother's Wit. You remember that?
Yes, I remember that.
We were in Menard together, and at the time we were trying to establish Juma for the believers there, because there was nothing.
Right.
And I want the audience to know that through Allah, this brother Yusuf Magyun has taught this religion to hundreds, if not thousands, of wild men, gangbangers, drug lords. You call it. That number may be in the thousands. Men who have now raised their families Muslim, who have Muslim children, Muslim wives, because by Allah's grace, of course, they ran into Yusuf Magyun. He is a story that the Muslim community in this country needs to know. He helped men become men. And I'm saying that from a hands-on perspective. I was in prison 15 years. And Yusuf Magyun, his name is respected throughout the state as the type of person that can help you to reform, to get your life in order. Yusuf, when I was in prison, Imam Johnny Shabazz was our imam and my mentor.
Right.
And I know you know Imam Shabazz very well.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he passed away some years ago, and I had an opportunity to be at his janazah. But I wanted your audience, your wife, Sister Zubeda. You know who I am, Sister Zubeda, right?
Yeah, Israel's son.
Yes, I'm Israel's son. How old is son?
Yeah.
Brother, you were an inspiration to me and hundreds and thousands of others, and we owe you a debt of gratitude, not just all of us who have been in prison those years, but this entire African-American Muslim community in this country owes you a debt of gratitude for what you were able to do for so many of us in prison. When you're in prison, that can be the lowest point in your life for so many people. But when you run into a brother like Yusuf, who can not only help you get back to you, Yusuf would help you get back to you before you even got to religion. So that is who he was and what he did for hundreds of men. Now, these are the men who just accepted al-Islam and went on to have families. Others may have not accepted al-Islam, but they are the better men and better family men because of it. So I truly believe that you have a special place in paradise. There's nothing anybody can tell me other than that. Because of how many men you have helped and guided to this faith who in turn raised families who are now Muslim. And for that, brother, I salute you.
Brother Omar, now I know your sister Israel's son. You were on my show a few years ago because you wrote a very good book as well. I know we all are busy. If you can help in writing a book about Brother Yusuf, because you're giving us the insights, and I mean that literally, you're giving us the insights, perspective that can't many people give. And I agree, we owe a debt of gratitude, but we need someone like you,
Brother
to Iman, help us.
Yusuf Madyun,
to know that.
By Allah's grace, Yusuf is responsible for guiding hundreds, if not thousands, of men to this deen.
We need to know that. We need to get
came right out of prison. Came right out of prison, getting their lives together, trying to figure out, okay, how you come home like that? They don't know about Yusuf Madyun.
Yeah. So how do we get that story told? Maybe we can do a talk later on, because this is very important. We need to document these things and share them, and mm-hmm. they can be a big hope and inspiration for us. So I may call you back if you don't mind.
Oh, absolutely. Not
because. Yes, sir. Thank you. Brother Yusuf, do you have any response to our brother Omar?
But the only response that I have is Alhamdulillah. The brother broke tears.
Yusuf, do you remember we used to go to Juma? It was just me and you.
Yeah, I remember. I remember quite well. You tall, brother. I know you quite well. I see your face now, you know. But still, brother, I'm just brought the tears on the as we say in the Georgia script that you just put forth on me. You know, all I can say, praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah.
I knew who you were before we met.
Yeah, alhamdulillah.
That's the kind of impact you had already had on men in prison. Before we even met, I knew who you were.
Yes, sir. I remember, as I say, you brought tears to my eyes because the scriptures you just put forth concerning me. I can only say praise be to Allah.
Alhamdulillah.
I say it sincerely. I don't just say that perfunctory, you know.
I say it in all sincerity. It's a lot of you did some work, bro. You did some work, man.
Mm.
And I got a salute
right.
to that. That was work.
Alhamdulillah.
That's right.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you very much. All right.
Yeah, let me just say, this is Words Made People, and the shows are recorded and archived. So if you have the link to this show, you can listen to this show whenever you want to, next week, next year, whatever. And Brother
okay.
Yusuf, you had the right to use any of this, and Sister Zubeda and Wilson Jones had the right to use any portion of the show as you so please.
And,
yes,
you know, I wanted to say that Yusuf is one of the men behind the man. He's one of the men behind your book.
Yes,
I think that's the title of it. It is the man.
No,
my book, yeah, it's titled The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, The Man Behind the Man. Yes, ma'am.
I hear some noise. Is that the signal for us to cut off? Or what,
somebody
what is
calling.
Brother Man?
Oh, no, that's probably some of that new technology, Brother Yusuf. We okay?
Okay.
Yeah, we can keep talking. Yeah. Yes,
okay.
It's the top of the hour. Normally I go off at 3, but we're going to go a little longer. We got a lot of people lined up. I'm looking at maybe 7, 8, if not 9 more. Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
We got about 9, 2 more calls on hold. So what are we going to do?
Right,
I hate to do this, but first, thanks to Brother Omo for that powerful testimony.
Mm.
Thank you very much. And I'm going to go to the next caller. Next caller's here. I hate to do this. I really do. We're going to ask you to be succinct and to the point because you're trying to get in as many people as possible. So this next caller here, this is a St. Louis number, 314. Is that St. Louis? Call from 314. Can you give us your first name and city, please?
As-salamu alaykum.
As-salamu alaykum.
Yeah, you said.
Yes, sir. I recognize your voice.
I'm love. This is Wally Pecan.
I know. Yeah, I recognize the voice, brother. Salaam alaikum.
Well, alaikum assalam to you and Imam, Sister Zubeda. How are you all?
We're fine. Good. I'm a happy camper.
I'm laughing. Yes, Yusuf and I and Brother Sage.
Yes,
remember
sir.
Sage, Yusuf?
Yes, I remember Sage.
We had some good times there on, you know, at Menorah on the hill. And
yes.
We would have our Juma services there, and sometimes then the imam there, they would let me come into the cell. I would go into the cell and Sage and I and yourself, we would pray together, we would talk together, all in the cell. And I've worked in the prison in Menorah, in the Illinois prison for about 25, 30 years, and I never enjoyed going into the prison. But I enjoyed meeting some of the inmates. And yourself and some of the other brothers and Sage were some of the brothers that made it very pleasing to come into those institutions, because we would have some in-depth talk, some in-depth conversation. So I thank Allah for blessing me to know you, sir. We are friends. I had an opportunity to come to Chicago and be with him when he got out. And Sister Zubeda, her conversation with my wife and how happy everybody was, the celebration we had at his masjid, at his son's masjid for me, it was very, very helpful for me to know Yusuf and the things that he had done, and his wife's continuous love and support for him during those 53 years of his incarceration. So I thank Allah for blessing me to know Yusuf. I consider him a friend, and my wife is a friend of his wife, and we wish them all the best. And inshallah, we'll be visiting them again shortly.
Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
We should take a moment out just to give some thought about Allah and what we mean when we say Allah. Yeah, to try to comprehend just what we're dealing with when we say Allah. Because
yes, sir.
What we've been talking about, me, Zubeda, I mean, that's, you're talking about signs for people to recognize. This is a sign that Allah is God and he has power to do that which you can't imagine. He has power to do that which we cannot conceive of. And he tells us in so many places that he can give us help from the blessings we could not imagine. And that has been the centerpiece of Zubeda's and my journey over these past 53 years. That Allah has given us help from the direction that we could not possibly have prepared for, could not possibly known were coming. But he gave it to us. And I just want to take a moment to let Allah know, although the conversation is about Zubeda and me, but this conversation could easily be about Allah and about Allah only, because his magnificence, his grace, his mercy,
amen,
his kindness, his care. This is phenomenal, brother, man. And I just want to interject that at this particular time, because I'm very mindful of being grateful to Allah. Matter of fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that our religion is divided into two things, patience and gratitude. And this is what I want Allah to know here in front of witnesses, that my wife and I are truly grateful. Thank you to him for everything he did for us and he continues to do, because his kindness and grace has not stopped since I come out of the penitentiary. I mean, the welcoming committee that awaited me and has been bestowing favor upon me since I've been out. It's just been tremendous, and it's just been evidence of a lot of grace. And I want him to know that I bear witness in front of your audience that there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his messenger.
Amen. Alhamdulillah. Yes, right. Thank you for bringing us back to center focus, because it is about Allah and His mercy and His compassion. Thank you very much. Let's go to our next caller here. Our caller here is 773-612. Call from 773-612. Can you give us your first name and city, please? Okay, we have to move on. 773-612. Okay, we're gonna move to the next caller. This caller here is from my city, 317. Call 317-509. 317-509. Can you give us your first name, please?
Assalamu alaikum. This is Brother Shaheed in Indianapolis, and I want to.
Yeah, you're Shaheed.
Yes. Brother Yusuf, we want to thank
yes.
you for your courage
gotta
and your
speak
leadership.
Up.
We want to thank you.
Just Shaheed, that, yeah, that for some reason that you for some reason that your phone's not very loud. Your voice is very very soft.
Okay, is this better?
A little bit.
Yes, I can hear.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
good.
I'll be very brief. I just want to thank you for your courage and your leadership in adversity. You know, it's easy to be Muslim when the sun is shining and the birds are chirping. But when you're Muslim in adversity, you're following in the footsteps of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so we thank you for your
Amen.
Leadership and your courage. And we also are very happy for Sister Zubaydah, because I've heard many times
Thank
of
you
from Sister Zubaydah, and based on what she said, I had respect for you, and I have even more respect
Thank
for
you
even today with what I've heard. So may Allah continue to bless you and your family, and keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Thank you, brother. Thank you very,
thank
very,
you very much.
Alhamdulillah. Yes. Alhamdulillah. Thank you, Jeff Shaheed, for those kind words and very wise words. I had not thought about it the way you gave it, but to demonstrate courage and leadership during difficulties is just above and beyond, and that really is a powerful testimony. Thank you very much. Okay, we go to our next caller here. This caller here is from 901. Call from 901. Thanks for calling Words Made People. Can you give us your first name and city, please?
Linda, Memphis.
Sister
yes,
Linda
ma'am.
In Memphis?
yes, I sound like I'm Sister Zubaydah. I just wanted to say that I am so elated with the two of you being back together. Very happy for you both. And I just want to say that I don't know if you remember, but you were actually the first Muslim that I had ever met en route to the masjid on Stony Island, on the number 28 Stony Island Mosque.
Yes.
And I'll never forget meeting you and assisting me in, you know, in into the masjid. That was my first visit, and you were the first Muslim I met. Fast forward to 40 years later, or 40 plus years later, to know that my now husband and your husband have been friends all of that time. So I thought that was a very interesting scenario, but I just wanted to give you both the greetings and thank Allah
you.
For you being able to get back with your husband.
Thank you,
Linda.
Thank you.
Well,
yes,
thank you very, very much.
That's wrong.
Again, what we're witnessing is a lot at work. And I'll give you a little thing that occurred with me when I was locked up. I was working out one day, and as I often do, I have a personal conversation with Allah. So I asked him, I said, oh Allah, I said, why is it that that which I plan, none of my plans work out? And he responded, and I say he, not knowing this was direct, but this is what came back. He said, I didn't create you for your plans to work out. I created you for my plans to work out, and my plans are working out just fine. And when he said that, I went right back to working out with a smile on my face. Because what could I say, you son? And what this sister just said reminds me of that. Allah's plan is working out just fine. I mean, he's bringing together elements. 30 years in the making, 40 years in the making, 50 years in the making. He's bringing elements together according to his plan, not our plan. And again, this is one of the mistakes that we made in the 60s. The youth or the young brothers at that time, we tried to put social change on our own personal timetable, and that did not work. It cost me 50 some years of penitentiary. It caused the lives of individuals to be lost and other people to be incarcerated. This universe is on a large timetable. And the more we're willing to submit to that, the more tranquility comes into our life, the more understanding about life comes into our life when we give Allah credit for having brought this universe into existence on his timetable, and that's it. And so when I listen to you just reminded me of how these various elements are coming together, 50 years in the making, 40 years in the making, whatever. They're coming together according to his plan, not ours.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And we thank you, Sister Linda, for your wonderful comments. We're going to move on to our next caller here. This caller here is also from 773-8927. 73892. Thanks for calling Words Made People. Can you give us your first name and your city?
Assalamu
alaikum. Assalamu
wanted to share. I had never had the opportunity to meet Brother Yusuf, and it's an honor and a blessing to know that you held fast and to hear your comments and be grateful to Allah. This is great to know me quite well, and I'm honored to know and watch her throughout years to stand firm in her belief and quietly do what she needs to do, and always supportive and grateful for that. And we talked about the years, and we didn't know what Allah was doing, but diamonds, the diamonds, and years of making strong. And when I was driving, and Brother Abdullah, that sells the Muslim Journal here in Chicago, he called me and told me that Brother Yusuf was being released. And I had to pull over and just thank Allah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And that's what I say. And I pray Allah, and I'm thankful and grateful. And may he continue to help us in our journey. We don't know what either one of us going to encounter in our lives, but we ask him that no matter what, we stay firm and believe in him and trust in him. And that's what I have seen Brother Yusuf and Sister Zubeda doing, and may we all follow that pattern, that continuation. And I want to say that Brother Omar Yamini that spoke, he was one of my third grade students here in Chicago at Sister Clara Muhammad School. And I've watched him as a young man and as a child, knowing him, you know, everything. And Allah has a reason, and all of us just stand firm in the belief in him and trust in him, his way, not our way. We are precious diamonds, and diamonds take time and to be those strong gems that need to be. Praise be to Allah. Thank you all so much. May Allah continue to bless all of us.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And inshallah, we'll be there next Saturday.
Yes, Sister Shakir, I know our time is super low, but yes, tell us real quickly, and she'll do it very, very quickly, about your event next Saturday on the 16th.
Yes. Praise be to Allah, the foundation, the Habashir Support Foundation, that we support and honor our children, our people that need to reach their potential and support them. We're having our 25th anniversary next Saturday. We live stream the Muslim Journal with one of our unsung heroes. Sister Beta was there, and thank you, Sister Beta. Everyone, you can call 773-651-4609 for more information. Thank you all. And thank you, ma'am, Makia, always for your support.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Okay. Well, you said, Sister Zubay, we're doing okay. We got a few more callers here. I guess we can get them
in.
We're fine. We're fine. Don't concern yourself with us in that regard. We're fine.
Okay. Well, we got four callers here. Please, nobody else, don't push one on your phone. Okay. Okay, yes. This is number here, 706-627. Can you give us your first name and your question, comment?
Walaikum as-salam.
Well, I thank Allah, first of all, for Allah blessing you to share your life experience with us that he gave you so that you can testify. Also, I thank Allah, Brother Yusuf. I heard your dua and been making it since I've been on the phone, that to remember Allah in this. This is what we want to do is remember Allah. So I pray
yes,
Allah,
sir.
What's your name, please?
I heard you three or four times from your soul say your concern for the youth and how can we get them to accept this responsibility. So I also share with you, and I pray Allah that you and your wife will be able to experience peace on earth while you're still here. And also mm-hmm. I know in your heart the things for 50 years as you read the Quran, as you prayed to Allah, you've seen his promise of saying to you, this day I have perfected for you your way of life and has called it Al-Islam. Put your will in my will and you will obtain the peace that every human being on this earth deserves. But I'm expecting you of this Quran to be the one to build this community of Al-Islam for all human beings. So I pray Allah that while he still has you in his grace and your wife in your grace, that you get to see the believers here in the United States of America. Back up for a minute and remember that Al-Islam
yes,
is in America like Jesus, but it's also is like Jesus. It's not of America. It is supposed to be the way
yes, sir.
That is independent
yes, sir.
Of all ways on this earth, and that you and your family and us and all of us and the children who you are thinking about who are suffering from the experience that you experienced will be able to come out of those ways of life that keeps on entrapping the human family.
Yes. We're going to have to go because I got 10 minutes left, brother. I got about five callers. Somebody else can push one on your phone. We're not going to get to all our calls today.
Thank you very much, brother.
Brother Abu C from Columbus, Georgia. Yes. Okay, go to our next caller, 773-552.
Yes.
Can you give us your first name and your comment, please?
I didn't know I was in line. This is Fareed Wali, Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I can
yes,
talk
sir.
For too many hours, so I'm going to make it really sweet. Brother was one of the brothers who came up on this line through my brother Yusuf and Sister Zubeda, because all the material that we received, she sent it to us. So without that, you know, you wouldn't have had most of the information that we had. And I'm going to be very brief with this one, because I could go forever, brother, because it's my brother. I'm with him regularly right now. So what made me really see the deen, I had already had the Quran, and I didn't know nothing about Muhammad. And Prophet Yusuf gave me a book called The Seal Nectar. When I read that, And I saw Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, was not about himself, that he was about the people, that he died with just his armor, slept on a mat, and his books, when he could have had all the riches in the world. When I saw that, and I saw how Yusuf carried himself up under stress he was up under, that's when I took Shahada, you know.
I mean,
and what made me really appreciate Yusuf is when he used to say to me, when I asked him a question that he didn't know, he had no problem saying, I had to get back with you on that one, brother. I don't know that one. And that let me know he wasn't trying to be arrogant or like he know everything. He was the brother that was trying to give it to you. I like to say he gave me his line with no sugar. It was all about the
okay,
end. So,
thank you.
As-salamu alaykum to the beta. As-salamu alaykum to yourself. As-salamu alaykum to the brother, the host. And I love y'all. Now I'll see you soon.
Okay. So anytime you want to comment on someone, just begin, but I'm going to keep on going down the line for our next caller. Now, next caller here is 520-420-400. I'm going to give everybody 1 minute because my time is really short. Caller for 520-400. Can you give us your first name and city, please?
My name is Mahdi Abdul-Akbar. As-salamu alaykum. May the peace and blessings of Allah be with you, Brother Yusuf. This is Fatal and all.
What is your name, brother?
This is Brother Mahdi Abdul-Akbar, who done 46 years from Los Angeles, California. And I can identify with you. And I thank Allah in this day and time that Allah is releasing us from prison, coming to this community and teaching the brothers who we share love with inside and outside, and we keep teaching. We pray a lot that we make it into paradise. I'm in 83 years old in Tucson, Arizona. I pray Imam Mikhail give my telephone number to you brothers to call me because it's an honor and a pleasure to see my hear my brothers after we went through trials and tribulations and Allah let us out. And I thank Brother Iman, Brother Mikhail, and Brother Edu Kameen Hassan, the moral support that they gave me, and Cherie and Malik. May the peace and blessings of Allah be with you, Sister Shabeta. And I'll talk to you many days on the prison from the California State Prison and Federal Prison with Imam Tam Jana, who worked with Imam Wallace D. Muhammad on the committee. May Allah continue to bless you, Sister Beta and Brother Yusuf.
Thank you.
Thank you, please go. As-salamu alaykum. May the peace and blessings of Allah be with you forever.
As-salamu alaykum. Amen. You hear that? He said that he done 46 years.
He did 46, brother.
He did some work.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Okay, next caller. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm fine. We're waiting on you.
Yes, sir. That's caller from 708. Caller from 708-737. Thanks for calling with me, people. Can you give us your first name and city? Your comment.
Okay, this is
708-737. Okay, we got to move on. We got two more. This caller here is from 856-718. Can you give us your first name, your city, please? Question
Sultana
and comment.
Sultana Ali. Masjid Free Haven. Yes, Lawnside, New Jersey. Can you hear me?
New Jersey.
You hear very well.
Alhamdulillah. Listen, before the tears that I have to wash my soul, you people, the Beta and Brother Yusuf, you have implemented the belief in Allah for anyone that's listening. And it need, just like Sister Aisha said, it needs to be made into a movie or a play on Broadway. This is so wonderful. I love both of you.
And we love you.
I never met Brother Yusuf, but I do know Sister Debater.
I do.
Alhamdulillah. Go ahead. I know you got another caller.
Yeah, yes, ma'am. We're trying to get there, everybody. And Sister Sultani, be sure to tell our sister, Sherry Umarani and her husband, Imam,
yes,
to give them the greeting for us, please.
I will.
All right. Yeah, thank you very much.
Get a sisters, believers there. The greetings from me. I know a lot of them from New Haven.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Thank you. Alaykum as-salam. All right. They're showing their love today. All right. Mm-hmm. This call's going back to 773 again. 773-607. Did I get them already? No. 773-607. Alaykum
as-salam.
My name is Salam.
Can you get the first name of the city, please?
Jamila. Jamila, yes, it is, in Chicago. And mm-hmm. this is going to be very brief. I've known Sister Zaida as long as I can remember, coming up through the University of Islam and just being in the community in general. I just want to share, you know, real quick here about it is really amazing how your son is an imam. And Brother Yusuf, I've not known you, but I've heard about you. And you were kind of being, I guess, a sort of imam in when you were incarcerated by helping so many brothers. So it's like you and your son have some similarities, you know, in that regard. I remember calling Abdullah and trying to get in touch with him many days after you had been released, Brother Yusuf. And I'm sure his phone lines were just flooded. And mashallah, when I finally did speak to him, I was like, I just wanted to call and congratulate you on your father being home. And this is what he said to me. He said, Sister Miller, don't make me cry. Don't make me cry. So just know that I don't know you, I know of you, but you were greatly missed in the community in which you were in. And I'm so grateful for Sister Zaida having the best
Thank
gift
you.
She could have ever been given by Allah's mercy and returning your husband unto you. May Allah
Thank
make you,
you
all wise, beautiful, and I'm sure you're going to be, inshallah, steadfast in Islam. And just want to wish you both the best.
Thanks.
Thank you
so much,
Jamila.
You're sweetie.
Praise be to Allah.
Thank you, Brother Bam.
I'm doing well.
I got Brother Nam, before you close out, I wanted to say a few things when you finish up with the callers.
Yeah, we have one more caller.
Okay.
This will be our last call. Let's call us. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, we got to wrap it up right. I want to give thanks to our sister Jamila and go to our next caller. Let's call this the last caller from 601. 601, you are the last caller. Thanks for calling Works Made People. Give us your first name and city, please.
This is the best caller. This is Brother Yusuf.
That's Yusuf's sister-in-law.
And I just want to say
I can't hear you.
That it has been her family's journey, and it's still kind of surreal that they let him go. As many prayer, I had friends from all kind of religions twice on the same day at the same time when he was coming up for parole. To whatever you believe in, at this time, on this day, this is what I want you to pray for. And there were many times that I gave up and said, I don't know what to pray for anymore. But this last time, I tried it one more time. And prayers do work. They move mountains, as they say. So I'm so happy to have my brother home. I'm almost in tears right now. My mother's all the way till the day of her death, she was doing things to try to get him out, writing letters to everybody. And toward the end, she couldn't write and came home from the funeral one day, well, after the funeral, and found a tape that she was taping to Geraldo and Oprah and everybody trying to get him released. So this has been the family's journey just as along with the babies. So I thank God.
What's your name again? I miss your name.
My name is Dina Simmons, Dina Hurst Simmons. Yusuf is my older brother. My first love.
Oh. All right,
baby.
Thank you.
I'll drop you a call later on.
Okay. Your son is coming in. I guess he might want to see something, say something. This is his oldest son. You want to say something?
Yes, you have to make it. How y'all doing? We're doing good. Outstanding interview. I had a big smile on my face the whole time listening to you all.
Okay, I think you all are the last call, and I wanted to make a few comments after you all's call.
Okay.
Okay. We through. I just wanted to put our 2 cents in.
All right, man. Thanks. Thank you.
I sound like, is it okay to make these comments?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. One of them is that I'm going to make them quick. Abdullah, when he would talk with the people about his dad, he was saying that sometimes you don't know when a blessing is a blessing when it's not. He said, how many of you all have sat down and talked to your father for hours? Because he used to go and visit. He would go with me as a youngster. Then as he got older, he was able to get in, you know, because of his age. He said, I have years and hours that I have sat down and talked to my father. How many of you young people have done that? And he said, it was a blessing. If I had a problem or something, I'd hold on to it until I see him and whatnot. Another thing I wanted to say is that when I went to the parole board, when I first walked in there, and I hope I can get this out without crying. I felt the angels in there, in this room. And when I walked in, I said, whoa, this is the first time I've come, and I felt the angels, you know, that they were there. They had everything just went step by step. Most of the time when I went, when they would call out for the votes, the votes was always no, no, no. This time, the votes were a positive yes, 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 Mrs. Sarah, yes, Mrs. So-and-so, yes. And they tried to put it where that if he come out, he's going to do something. You know, and one of the board members, she was excellent. She would ask them, give me the mic. She said, this man is not going to come out, no 77 years old, and come out and commit a crime. Every time they would try to knock it down, she would say it again. Give me that mic. What was her name?
Her name was...
I can't think of her name now. Mm-hmm. But anyway,
Edith Kriegler.
Edith Kriegler. Mm-hmm. So I thank a lot for her. The state's attorney here is Fox, wasn't it?
The state's Fox.
Yeah, the state's attorney here. What's her name?
Fox.
Kim
Fox.
Yeah, Kim Fox says she wouldn't vote against him. Just to show you how things was coming in. He was to have at least seven votes to get out to make parole. And I thought he was supposed to have 8. I wrote them down as we went. Mildred went with me. Mildred, the writer in the Muslim Journal. We took the train down to Springfield. As I wrote them down, yes, yes, yes. And after the 8th one came in, I said, oh, he made it. I rolled up, came out of there, and we could pick him up the same day. But the form that I had signed 3 years ago, they said it wasn't valid because we was on our way to get him. They said it wasn't valid, but if we could have, they would send an agent out the next day, and if I could get the, he would fax it if you get home tonight. And I did get home, from Springfield. They sent an agent out. He sent it in, and I was there the next day to get him. And as we pulled out of there, we went straight to Juma the same day. So alhamdulillah. Another thing I wanted to say is that Yusuf have proofread a lot of the books of the Muslim, one being Dr. Jamila in Atlanta, Dr. Jamila Kareem, Mildred's book came to him, and with no cover or anything, and the man asked me, he said, what is this? And I told him, I said, it's a book without the cover. And Namat Marie out of Philadelphia and others that he have in there, because he's an expert in proofreading. And that's it.
Brother Ma'am, are you still there?
Yes, sir, I'm still here.
Brother Imam, one more thing I want to say is that we've gotten a lot of blessings, but one blessing that we have gotten, we don't have time to say it on here, is that Allah have changed Yusuf and I, our spirit. We have a different spirit now, you know, I'll have to explain that later. So anyway, I just wanted to let them know that the angels was at that hearing.
Because it was time for me to come home.
That's right. Brother Yusuf, we're going to give you the last word, and we are over, but this is too important to pass up. So you get the last word, and we're going to close out.
Well, brother, I have my last word again. Praise be to Allah, and no matter what was said today, all credit is due to Allah, because nothing could have been done without His input, and for us to never forget that. One of the things that Iblis said when he was being thrown out of paradise, he said he was going to come at us from before, after, behind us. And he said, you will find most of them ungrateful. And that's very important that he said that, because the human being has many faults. He's jealous, and he's envious, and he's greedy, et cetera, et cetera. But Iblis did not mention that. He mentioned
yes,
gratitude. And so this is one of the things that I hope that I've been able to maintain in my understanding of Islam, and my understanding of what Allah has done, and that is to put us in a situation to find out if, in fact, we'll be grateful for the many favors that He has bestowed upon us. And so I hope that Zubaydah and I will continue to show Allah that we're grateful for the favors He has bestowed upon us.
I mean, that's right. Thank you. Well, this has been a powerful show. The shows are archived, so if you have the link, you're more than welcome. You can listen to the show again later. And once again, Brother Yusuf and Sister Zubaydah, you have permission to use any of this show as you wish, as well as Muslim Journal. You can feel free to take anything from this to use for whatever you need, because we have to share this story. Thanks to all And there was a no-brainer. For me, there was a no-brainer. When I saw it in Muslim Journal and I called you, and we talked that first night, as soon as we got 15 minutes into the conversation, I said, I got to ask them, would they be on the show? And you all immediately said yes. So.
Yes.
I'm
listening to you, brother, man.
I mean, I've not really traveled since COVID-19 here. I've been outside of the state, District of Columbus, Ohio, for 3 hours and back. But I may have to come up to Chicago. I need to come up there and meet you.
Alhamdulillah.
Yes, sir.
Well, whenever you come this way, the wife and I will have a welcoming mat out for you, you know, so you don't have to worry about that.
Okay. I take any color. It ain't got to be a red one. I take any color you got. But, you know, Iron Man, I know you're still with us. But, you know, Iron Man, anything you want to say before we go out?
Yeah, I just wanted to thank everybody again, the International League of Muslim Women who incorporated, who I am a member, and the president is of our chapter here, Rishana, putting the words out, Madhune,
yeah,
to send their prayers up. And, you know, and I always think about that, how many prayers that was sent out all over the country.
Mm.
You know, these women.
Yes,
another thing too that we got from the believers, they're crying. I've never seen so many men cry so much. And the believers, men and the women, they've really been crying, kissing him on his head, hugging him. They come to the masjid and line up the first day he came home. And just made us feel so good because the board said that he wasn't no good. He's a threat to society. And he was in there helping everybody how to read, teaching them what a bone is and how many bones in the body, you know.
Yes,
and like
that's
the brother
right.
said,
right.
they probably didn't want him out of there for that reason. But, you know, like Jamil Elmeen
right.
said, don't forget, whatever go down, it's always five prayers.
That's right. Alhamdulillah. I think I got someone lingering on. Let me see. This call here from 856. Have you been on already? Call 856.
So, me? 856 is me. Subhan Ali. Can you hear me?
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. No. I'm going to make sure that I didn't miss you. Okay. Thank you. We're going to close out now. We're going to close out with our theme song called Worries Make People. I want to thank everybody for their participation. Brother Youssef, you are our hero. Sister Zubeda, you are our hero. We thank Allah for you and pray that your paradise begin here and get multiplied in the life
yeah.
to come.
Yeah.
So
thank you,
thank you for having us.
You're welcome. You're more than welcome. With that said, we say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. See you next week.
People, every day, trying to do things their own way. But everything you see, touch, smell, those are things that tell you words. To think twice before you step or give advice. Make sure your words hold true, cause people hold you to your words. They make people, and people, they make the world go round. Words make people. Check out the words that make your world. If your words are jive, then jive you are. Cause those type of words, they don't go far. Thinking starts, word can buy. From ideas deep in your mind, it's words that make people, and people that make the world go round. Words make people. Check out the words that make your mind. Bow.
people and people to make the world go round. Work, make people check out the words that make your world. If your words are good, then good you'll be, cause those kind of words that set you free. When thinking starts, words can buy from ideas deep in your mind. You need words to make people and people to make the world go round. Words that make people. Thank you, WD, for setting me free with words. Thank you, WD.